Well, good morning, Mosaic. Hey, so I was 10 years old, me and my buddy Ben, walking down a dirt road, and on the side of the road, there's this embankment, hollowed out log there. Been by there many times, threw rocks into that log. Great game, right? And so this time was different. This day, we stopped by that hollowed out log and grabbed a rock, and as we were throwing some rocks in there, what was different about it this time was that there were bees coming out of that log. And so being the stellar, intelligent young 10-year-olds that we were, we thought, hey, I got an idea. And generally when two boys say that, it doesn't end well. And so we grabbed the rocks and we thought if one of us could just rip that thing right down the middle of that log and blow up that beehive, we'd have a winner. And so here we were chucking the rocks in there, and I don't remember which one of us got it. I don't know who threw it right down the pipe there, but one of us got it, and we ended up having more to deal with than what we bargained for. Because what came out of that log was this like crazy, really aggressive pile of bees, and we hightailed it out of there. We got as far and as quick away from there as we could. Here's the problem, though. My 6-year-old brother liked to follow us everywhere. And so he had a little bit of difficulty moving his little legs to keep up with our 10-year-old adrenaline-infused retreat. And so we made it back to the house unscathed. My brother, not so much. He's fine. A little bit of trauma. We still can remember that story, but we made it back. And I tell that story because in a very real way, what can happen as we dive into the verses we're in today, it can feel like if you've ever been around a beehive that's been whacked out or sprayed or whatever, then to stick around and see what happens, it can also kind of feel like, what are we doing here? Why are we here? Like, why would we stick around for that? But it's actually where we're going to be today is so rich and so good and so challenging to all of us in the room that I think we're going to get so much out of this as we tackle these verses in Colossians 3 today. Now, what we see happen is Paul camps out in this space after he has walked through the entirety of chapter 3 here. He has camped out in this space where he takes all of these theological realities, and then he begins to apply them to the practicalities of life. And so it's no longer just, hey, you got to know this. Hey, this is what it looks like. Hey, this is amazing things that will help shape your heart and mind to resemble Jesus more and more. But now here's how it plays into the everyday situations of life. And so before we jump in there today, what I want to do is I want to put a proper frame around everything, kind of put the right lenses on so that when we get to Colossians 3 and the verses that we're going to tackle today, it actually brings great clarity to it, okay? So it's kind of like going to the optometrist. The optometrist puts that apparatus on your face there, and it's like, okay, which one's clear, one or two? You know, one or two. So that's what we're going to do here. It's kind of one or two. I'm going to help bring clarity in every way here by looking at some other verses so that when we get to Colossians, great clarity lands in our space. Sound good? All right. Philippians chapter 2. You can go there if you want. You don't have to. If you want to just go to Colossians 3, that's where we're going to be today. That's where the bulk of the verses are. And online, if you want to head there as well, Colossians 3 is where we're going to be, but Philippians 2 is the lens that we need to look through to get there and bring as much clarity as possible. Philippians 2, verse 5, have this mind among yourselves. In other words, think this way. Think this way. Have this mind amongst yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, when we look at this picture of Jesus' descent into greatness here, what we see is he was not coerced into this. He wasn't threatened into this. He was not, you know, tricked into this. He was not in any way, shape, or form entering into something that was by accident. He emptied himself. He did this, okay? He is the one who made himself nothing. And so we can take this and be marveled at who Jesus is and what he has done, and that would be right. That would be good to take that on and go, wow, Jesus is very different in the way that he approached the mission that he had been given than many of us in the room, right? All of us in the room. The way that Jesus engaged is inspirational on every level. And it would be easy to read those verses and go, man, that's amazing about Jesus, but what does that have to say for me? Like, how does this impact me? Thank you for asking. Because here's what 1 Peter does. So now we're getting, in 1 Peter chapter 2, we begin to see what Jesus did there, the foundational level that we're putting in effect here that brings clarity to Colossians 3. The foundation has been laid now in Philippians 2, where we see the submission of Jesus like none other. But then we add to that and we begin to see, oh, well, this is what it means for us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 23. It says this, "For to this you have been called." So now it's not just theory. Now we're actually taking the life of Jesus and we recognize, oh, we're called into this relationship, into this journey following him. "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps." Check this out. The word example, a massive word. In the original language, that word example means like a child who is tracing the letters of the alphabet so that they can write that letter appropriately. All right, so now we have here, as an example, Jesus is an example, which means as followers of his, now we are to trace the life of Jesus. We trace his attitudes. We trace his actions. We trace his heart. We follow in his footsteps. He is leading us. As Christ followers, we follow Christ. It's really that simple. That's what we're being led to do here, so that you might follow in his steps. And then verse 23, "When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead," this is huge, "he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." Oh, that changes everything. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. If there was ever anyone in the history of planet Earth that could have stepped out and said, "You know what? I'm going to throw a foul. No, foul. You know, there was something's not right." That if anyone could have done that and said, "This is not fair. This is not right. This is not good." Jesus is at the front of that line. And he could have called that and said, "All right, enough's enough. Do you guys know who I am?" But he did not do that. Verse 23, what did it say? It says that he stayed camped out under the umbrella of authority that God had established. He stayed there. Even though he did not have to, but he stayed there because he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. And that's where the tension is, though, right? Like, that's where the tension is for me when I see that and I hear that and I'm like, yeah, but there are things that happen in life where it's not right. That's a raw deal. That's not fair. This isn't good. I need to stand up and say something. And indeed, there are times where that may be true. But here's what happens. In our culture that we find ourselves in, here's what I have noticed. When our rights are being challenged, we're really quick to grab onto that and say, no. You can't have that. And we shirk our responsibility. But here we have Jesus flipping that on end. And now what we see him doing is saying, you know what? I'm going to lay aside my rights and I'm going to actually embrace my responsibility, which is to be so in step with our Heavenly Father that I entrust my life fully, completely, unquestioningly, saying, it's all yours. You can have it, and I'm here to serve your plans and purposes. That's what we see happen in the life of Jesus. He lets his rights go, but he fully embraces his responsibility. And we don't like that, because what happens in our world, when our rights are somehow put in question, then we kind of push aside our responsibility, because we don't want to be under authority, do we? We want to be in authority. We want to call the shots, right? We want to be able to say, no, this is how it should roll. This is what's going to be good. This is how it's all going to flow for me. And this is what can make these verses that we're going to cover in Colossians so difficult, so hard to stick around, because they're very challenging. They're hard. In fact, these verses have been misapplied for thousands of years. They have been misused. They have been used as threats. They've hurt people. They tend to bring up all kinds of emotion, all kinds of confusion. Some of it, when we tackle it, maybe you hear it and it's going to make you feel a little bit uncomfortable, stir some stuff up in us, and we're just like, ugh, this is hard to hear. Right? I get that. But see, here's where we miss, I think, a lot of times, that sometimes when we hit some things that appear to be controversial, but actually when we look at them for the beauty that they are, because the Word of God is not meant to just come in, you know, drop a bomb and then see what happens. You know, it's like, ah, look what happened. And then there's actually beauty in it, in that everything that God has written down is to inform us who He is, what His plans are, and what it looks like for us to walk with Him in such a way that we get to see His heart revealed, the heart of our Heavenly Father, that we get to experience Him for who He really is. And in doing so, what we get to step into is then to do the same thing and pattern our life after our great Savior Jesus, who entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. All right, so here's context, okay? Context is so key in order for us to understand what Colossians 3 is talking about. The context of Colossians, remember, Paul wrote this letter into this newer church in the city of Colossae that was dealing with, or is about to deal with, people coming in and saying that the sufficiency of Jesus was in question. So it had to be Jesus plus some other ideology or some philosophy. Yeah, Jesus is great and all, but if we add these things to it, then it will be even better. And so Paul steps in and he's like, no, that is not it. In fact, what we have is Jesus is fully, completely enough, sufficient, no matter what, in every situation. And when we grab hold of that reality and see the sufficiency of Christ in everything, what happens is everything that the human heart has been longing for from the beginning of time until now is found in Him. It is found in Christ alone, fully and completely. And so before I dive in, just know this, all right? Everything that I'm about to cover was covered in a whole lot more detail than I'm going to have time to do it today. All right, so I've got about 40 minutes or so, and so that means we're about halfway done right now. All right, so we're about halfway done here. And so I've got about 40 minutes that I get to unpack what we unpacked in Ephesians, the series that we were in about a year and a half ago. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, each one of these was dealt with individually. And they're in about 50 minutes a pop, all right? So there's like 150 minutes, 2.5 hours of content that you can watch online or listen online. You can listen in the car, ride your bike, go for a run for 2.5 hours. It's all in there. Covers way more nuance, covers way more detail than I get. So it's like, here, Dave, you get 40 minutes. Tackle it. You go do that. You know, and so that's what I get to do. So what I'm actually going to do is not necessarily talk about all the stuff that we've already done, but rather come at it from a different angle that will help us to grab more clarity as we step into Colossians 3, all right? So you can go back to Ephesians, and it's online. This is mosaic.org. Click the Ephesians, go Ephesians 5 and 6. You will find it. So that sets us right on the doorstep of Colossians chapter 3. All right, you ready? Let's go. Colossians 3 starts out in verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands. Boom, there's that rock, right? Shoot it right down the vine. Here come the bees. You know, here they come. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. I could spend a whole series on just this verse and the next. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. All right? Children, obey your parents in everything. Whoosh, you know, bzz, here we go. You know, I'm just throwing rocks down the bayou here. Like, and for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey everything to those who are your earthly masters. Whoosh, you know, there's another rock, right? Obey in everything, for they are who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. You see what he did there? Leveled the playing field. No partiality. In other words, there's Jesus and us. All of us. There is no hierarchy in this room outside those doors. There is Jesus and the rest of us. We are all needy people in need of that Savior Jesus. Okay? That's got to be clear. No partiality. None. Ever. Done. Period. None. Okay? Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So there you go. Submit, obey, masters, and servants, right? You throw those words out into our culture, and they land with about the same level of enthusiasm as spraying a cat with water, all right? Like, it's just kind of like, don't want that, don't like that. This is hard, this is difficult, right? But we have very clear markers here. We have this structure that has been established called marriage, where there's husband and wife. We have a structure established here where there is parent and child. We have another structure here that is, when we hear the space like bond servant and master, here's what we need to understand. Because in a space that we live in the culture we live in, our mind would easily go to the place where it's in the horrific past in our country, where we attach these kinds of words to slavery that was attached to race. Okay, now this does speak into that, and you can learn more about that in Ephesians 5 and 6. Pastor Renaud unpacked this, and so you can go back and dive into that more. But here's what we have to understand when it brings up this particularly. So speaking into this place, there was also, it was not uncommon at all in the Greco-Roman world, that what was going on back then, they didn't have the modern banking systems that we have. They didn't have credit cards. So if they incurred a debt or they had a need, their only course of action was either, you know, get in big trouble for it or go to somebody who had means and say, here's my debt. Here's something I need to take care of. I'm going to work for you if you will take care of that. And so I'm going to place myself under your leadership, and I'm going to work 5, 10 years, whatever. And if something happens to me, then my kids will step into that space as well. And so I will work until that debt is paid off. And then I'll go back to my life of freedom. And I can go and pick and choose and do whatever I would like. So that was very common. Some of the things I listened to and read that said in the Greco-Roman world, it could have been upwards of 60 million people found themselves in this kind of place. So essentially what we have, it's not just like, oh man, it must have been so hard in all of these really hard, difficult spaces where so many found themselves. It wasn't just in hard places. It was also, you would find doctors in this space. They were serving under the leadership of somebody who had means, attorneys, teachers, and the like, okay? So when we're talking about this master-servant thing, really what we're dealing with is the whole workplace environment, because this was very prevalent back then. Very, very, very prevalent back then. And it's into this space that the Bible speaks, into marriage, into parenting, into the workplace environment, that actually helps us, what Colossians 3 talks about, actually helps us to do this, right? So scripture isn't just laying things out there that's like, here's an impossibility, good luck. But it's actually, here is what will please the Lord. And then this is what it looks like to play that out. And so really what we've done here is like, look at how this all flows. So we started here in Philippians chapter 2, laid the foundation that we are to adopt this humility that Jesus displayed for us. That's the foundation that we build on. Then 1 Peter chapter 2 talked about following his example so that we could entrust ourselves to the one who judges justly. So that's it begins to build on that foundation. And then we take what is in Colossians 3, and what Paul does is so amazing. When you go back, like, check this out. This is where we've been for the last month or so. When we started out in Colossians 3, you begin to see Paul say, all this stuff that we read, the whole marriage, parenting, and workplace environment, I'm going to show you how to do it first before I tell you what to do. So how he says to do it is to keep your focus on Jesus. This is all chapter 3. So he has already declared the sufficiency of Christ. Then he says, in order to get real practical in this, let me tell you how, and then I'll tell you what. How? Keep your focus on Jesus. Don't be concerned with all the stuff down here. Keep your focus on him, where he is and what's going on there will then begin to profoundly affect what goes on down here. And then the old way is gone. The new way comes. The word of God dwells in us richly. And what happens is we begin to actually live out what verse 17 says, where we honor Jesus in every way. So he says, this is how it's going to flow. So we have the foundation of humility in Christ, the example that he set, entrusting himself to the one who judges justly, focus on him, old way gone, new way here, word of God leading us to be a space where we honor Jesus in everything. That's what's going on. And so now we're getting to the place when you look at submit, you look at obey, that we're all accountable for. When we look at that, then it begins to really change things up. It actually begins to feel doable. But let me stop one more spot. So we have the foundation and some build. I want to build on one more thing that frames the rest of our time together as we consider what Colossians 3 brings up, okay? 1 Peter chapter 2, but primarily dealing with a little bit later here, starting in verse 13. Check out what Peter writes here. He says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should also put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. So he starts off right there in these verses, and he says, what do we do? He says, we are subject. What that means is submit. You submit yourself. And what did he say we submit ourselves to? Submit yourself to every human institution. Here's what's crazy. You know what the word every means in the ancient language? Every. Crazy, I know. Like, it's really odd that he would actually use the word and let it mean what it means. It's every single human institution. Right? So that's here we see Peter. He mentions government. He mentions leaders that are put in place so that chaos does not reign supreme, but there's actual order. And then later on in chapter 2 here, he does mention bondservants as well. So there's some overlap right there in Colossians. And then we look at other institutions. We have the institution of marriage. We have the institution of parenting. We have the institution called the workplace. All of these spaces are there. And here's what's so revolutionary when we pull back and consider what Paul is writing in Colossians. By bringing women into the conversation, by bringing children into the conversation, and bringing employees into the conversation, that was revolutionary. All three of these were considered property, the same as livestock or other things that you could own. They had no rights, None. But yet here we have Paul listing them first and thus adding value to them. They are no longer viewed as like second-class citizens. What Paul is doing is like, no. You're part of the redemptive story of God. How you play into this story, it matters. You're not just somebody that somebody has rights and responsibilities over. You are a primary player in the story. That's revolutionary. But it's also equally as revolutionary to the man or to the leader, to the husband, to address the husband who had no recourse for his behavior. I mean, he could do away with his wife. He could send his kids off. I mean, he had no responsibility to them. None. And yet here we have Paul saying, hey, husbands, love your wives. Don't be harsh with them. And they would have been like, who is this? And what is he saying? You know, what? Nobody tells me anything. Oh, but the word of God does. The word of God does. And then it brings into this whole idea of the authority of parenting. That it's not just, you know, kids, you need to do what I say. You know, but now we have parents that should live in such a way that they don't exasperate their kids. He's speaking to them saying, no, you don't just run roughshod over your kids. You're there to provide order. You're there to provide shepherding opportunities to point them to Jesus. It's not just lording power over them. And then to the employer. It's like, oh, yeah, you're an authority, but that doesn't mean that you treat them badly just because you have all the cards. You have the reins. You're the one at the driver's space there that you're determining where things go. You don't abuse that privilege. Why? Because in each one of those spaces, even though they're leading in the same way that wives, children, and employees are subject to whatever authority is there, the men and the leaders, the parents, are also subject and also submit and also obey to the ultimate authority, who is God. There is submission and obedience all the way across the board. Nobody gets left out of this. It equally applies to all of us, which means we're all in a space of challenge. But here's what's hard, right? When you look at this verse that we just tackled here in 1 Peter, it says every institution. I don't know if this is where it hits you, but this is when I get there, I'm like, I want to have lunch with Jesus, and I want to sit eye to eye and knee to knee and kind of have a conversation. It's like, do you know what's going on down here? Are you aware of how crazy and wheels off it gets down? Like, isn't there an element to like, really, everything? Every human institution? I mean, did maybe Peter miss something in translation here and you just kind of left it for us to figure it out? Like, is that really what it means? Every single one? Here's what's so powerful in that, though. When Peter wrote this to the churches, you want to know who was in power in Rome? Nero. Go read up on Nero. Go read up on him. I don't know what nightmare you have in whatever space you're in, whatever authority you're under, but I'm pretty sure that Nero takes the cake about anything that's going on. Not to diminish the challenge and the struggle you're in. I'm not trying to do that. But when it comes to the fact that he says every human institution, then he's dealing with, the ones that are led by Nero. This is not a great space, all right? Let's think of any number of nightmares we could have as a leader. Nero is up there towards the top of the list. And he simply says, submit to every institution. And then he gives the why. Why does he say to do that? Be subject for the Lord's sake. Subject to him for the Lord's sake. And here's what Peter has done so brilliantly that speaks into Colossians chapter 3. All right? God is up to something. His plan is prevailing. His way will not be stopped. It is not even slowing down in the slightest. No matter what you do, no matter what I do, the enemy of God, his plan will not stop. Absolutely nothing comes across his radar that he's just like, What are we going to do with that? You know, I didn't expect that. Angels, you go here. Jesus, you're going to have to go back. You know, nothing is happening where he's scrambling, going, how's this going to work? I don't know what to do. He has complete control, and everything, according to his will and way, is and will happen perfectly. Perfectly, okay? And here's what he has established, guys. There are umbrellas of authority all over our planet, right? There are these little umbrellas of authority. There's a governmental authority. There are civic leaders that exercise authority over us. There are all kinds of, like, we have marriage authority. We have parenting authority. We have workplace authority. All of these umbrellas of authority exist, but they exist under the ultimate umbrella of authority that belongs to God. Okay? We got to get that. He reigns supreme over all other umbrellas of authority that exist on this planet. Every single one. He has afforded leadership in those spaces that he has set in motion to bring life and to bring freedom and to operate in a way that does away with chaos, but it doesn't always work that way, does it? It doesn't always work that way, but those umbrellas of authority always are subject and submit to the ultimate authority of that God exists in with his umbrella. Okay, no matter where we go, we are always, every one of us, man, woman, child, you know, parent, boss, employee, whatever, all of us exist under that umbrella of authority. And that is a safe space. That is a good space. He is a good God, a faithful God, a trustworthy God. So we can submit to that space. That's a good space to be in, which means earthly leaders don't just get carte blanche authority. Okay? Got to grab hold of this one. Earthly leaders don't just get carte blanche authority. Well, I'm in charge. Well, if you have to say that, you're probably not. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in charge. Do what I say. Whoop, yeah, there's a red flag there, right? Because we've been put in a place of leadership. If you are in that space, if you are a husband in the home, a place of leadership, a parents in the place of the home over children, and employers over employees to bring life and freedom, okay? That's what's going on here. So we don't get carte blanche authority. That means if in any of those spaces that somebody has some ideology or philosophy that is in contrast to what Scripture teaches, to the ways of God, then guess what? We don't submit. We always, though, submit to the ways of God, but we don't always submit in the spaces if there happens to be something that is outside of the realm that God says is okay. Now, here's where we got to get a firm hold of, though. Just because it's hard doesn't mean, oh, well, this isn't what I signed up for. Just because it's a struggle, just because there's a bit of a grind, doesn't mean that we step out from under that authority. Hey, that's not what it's going. Now, let me put a little asterisk here, because a lot of times these verses have been used and people have been abused. Abuse is never okay, right? Let's be clear here. Ever. Like in the marriage, in parenting, in the workplace, abuse is never, never okay. So knowing that, but just because it's hard, just because it's a struggle, just because it's a grind, doesn't mean we don't have to submit. It doesn't mean that, okay? Because everybody on this earth doesn't always have our best interest in mind, do they? We live on a broken planet. It's broken here. But yet, what did we see in the life of Jesus? The foundation. He made himself nothing. He emptied himself. He entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He didn't revile. He didn't retaliate. He didn't go, you know, because it's not about, hey, this isn't right. My rights were infringed and we set aside a responsibility. Remember, he flipped that. He set aside his rights and he's like, nope, I'm going to entrust myself to the one who judges justly. He's got this. He can tackle this. He can take care of this, all right? And this is hard. It's hard, isn't it? Submission is hard. But guys, we do it all the time. We submit all the time. We submit to our government. They set in place laws and we live within those within those parameters. We submit to civic leaders. I mean, we submit to the police, right? You go blowing through a school zone going 55 and you see lights in your rearview mirror, you make a run for it? No! You're like, ah, this is going to be a big ticket. You know, like you pull over and you're like, yeah, you know, I was an idiot, sir. I'm sorry, you know, thanks. And then you take your ticket and you pay it and you're like, never again. I'm setting my phone down. I'm never going to use it while I'm driving. You know, so you can tell yourself that. But just anyway, but we submit to authority. How about this one? What's tomorrow? Monday, tax day. Yeah, you submit to the IRS. Right? We love the stimulus money, but we don't like to pay our taxes, you know. But we submit, right? We submit all the time. I mean, for Pete's sake, guys, we live in Central Florida, the land of the HOA, right? I mean, we submit to HOA boards all the time. You know, you got to have your grass this high. Can't put that plant. How dare you paint that color? You know, it's just like, I mean, we're all there. You know, and some of you are like, no, that's why I moved out to the sticks. You know, like I don't have anybody telling me anything. And if you were so lucky as to soak up land way back before it got crazy expensive, praise God for that. All right? Praise God for that. But see, guys, here's the facts, right? No matter where we are, no matter what we are doing, there are umbrellas of authority that you might find yourself under. And there might be umbrellas of authority that you are in leadership in. But in all spaces, all of those umbrellas of authority are always subject to the umbrella of authority established in God, okay? And so here's what we have to be careful of. When things get hard, when things get difficult, when things get to be a grind, that we don't step out from underneath that authority and try to take things into our own hands. That's when we set aside the way of Jesus, and we kind of tear off down our own little path. And that has never gone well. No matter where we are, no matter what we do, you can run out from under those umbrellas of authority, but you can never outrun the outreach of the umbrella of authority of God. He does not give an inch, and he will reign supreme forever. It's the way it's going to be. But when we set ourselves under that, both husband and wives, both children and parents, both employees and employers, we're always under the authority of God, which means no matter where we're at under these other smaller umbrellas, we always have an appeal. We always have someone to go to and say, God, I don't know what to do in this situation, but I know I want to honor you. Will you help me? Will you give me wisdom? Will you help me take the right steps so that I honor you? I'm entrusting myself to you who judges justly. Take care of this in the way that you see fit, and then change me and help me to become more like you. Or if you're in a leadership, I don't know what to do with this. I want to take this seriously. If you find yourself in that space, you are accountable. You are accountable, husbands. You are accountable, parents. You are accountable, employers. You don't just get off scot-free. Everybody is under the umbrella of authority of God, and there will come a day when we have to give an account, and that's okay. Right? But it's whether it's going good or whether it's going bad, that is always going to be the reality. And check this out, guys. This has been a tactic of the enemy from day one. Get out from under that authority. Go find your own way. You don't want to be under authority. You want to be in authority. How well did that go for Adam and Eve? Not well. And here we are several thousand years later, and it hasn't changed. We're still in the same place. So in the same way that the tactic of the enemy has been, get out from under that authority and go blaze your own trail, that did not end well for anyone ever. But actually putting yourself in a space where submission is the key, modeled by Jesus, Philippians 2, that then is built upon when we see that we follow his example and entrust ourselves to the one who judges justly. And then we focus on Jesus, put the old way aside, the new way comes, the word of God richly dwells in us, We begin to honor him in every way. So now submission and obedience is not something that is a struggle, but it's actually a way for us to understand the Father heart of God. Because here's what's the reality, guys. In all of those spaces, we don't find our hope, our purpose, our meaning in whoever we may be subject to. Our hope, our purpose, our life, our freedom, everything is found in him. And we're ultimately trusting our lives to Christ. That's what's going on, okay? That's what we have to land on today. All right, so let's be a people that are so in step with the Spirit that Galatians talks about, so in step with the Spirit of God that we begin to resemble Jesus in every way, and just as he entrusted his life to him who judges justly, that we too would follow in those footsteps, and may it be said of us that we, all of us, men, women, children, husbands, wives, parents, children, employers, employees, that we all made the gospel seem so beautiful, so transformational, because we too entrust our life to the one who judges justly. Amen? Amen? Okay. Now, praise God for that. I know in a room with this many people, and I know online as you're watching, some of you right now, you hear this and you're like, I am about ready to throw in the towel. I can't do it anymore. I don't know what to do. It may be the husband and wife. The wife may be here this morning and say, I hear what you're saying, Dave, but you don't know him. Or the husband is like, I'm trying to lead well, but you don't know her. And the parents are like, my kid is off the rails over here, and I have no clue what to do to bring them back. And some of the kids in here, they're like, I'm a kid. I don't know what to do. Like, what? How am I supposed to make an appeal? What does that look like? Employers here going, man, I can't find anybody to work that's helpful at all. And the employees are like, my boss is certifiable. And if they're sitting next to you, just act like you didn't hear anything, right? So, isn't that how it goes, right? There are times in life where you're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. You talk about this and it seems easy in theory, but in practice, it's really hard. And it is. It can be. But here's what I want you to know, that we are here to walk with you. That's the beauty of the local church. That's the beauty of coming together called Mosaic, that us gathered, we're stronger together than we are just isolated out there trying to figure it out, that this matters, coming together. And we want you to know that you're not alone. So if you are in a space where you feel like you're about to throw in the towel and you can't take it anymore, on my right over here, your left, we have the thing, you hear it all the time, we have the prayer wall over here. There will be elders and deacons, godly men and women over here that want nothing more than for you to come over there and to pray. And if you don't want to pray, but you're like, man, I've got this going on in my marriage or in parenting or in work, I don't know what to do with this, then they will give you wise counsel. Please go over there. Do not leave here without getting that. And online, you can send us a prayer request, and they'll talk about that at the end. Like, we want to walk with you. You are not in it alone. Do not walk out of here going, well, I got to figure it out. And you don't. Like, it's not just entirely up to you. And also know that if you don't have time today, it's not like you can't come back in 2, 3, 4 weeks and come back and go to the prayer wall. All you have to do is go over there and say, there's some guy was talking about a month ago, and I don't remember anything that he said other than they said I could come and I could pray and get wise counsel. Please do that. It doesn't have to be today. But we do want you to know that you're not in it alone. We want to walk with you. It is our heart's desire as leaders here at Mosaic to move us into a space where we all are walking so freely with the Spirit of God and resembling Jesus more and more, so that we all entrust ourselves to him. Okay? So let's do that. You guys go over there and pray. Let's pray. Let's spend just a moment just hanging out with God. And we've got a couple songs, and pretty soon we'll send you on your way. God, thank you so much that you have not left us in this space today to go and figure it out on our own. That you are so good that you have revealed to us a plan, but that you are so generous that you will now walk with us to achieve that. I pray that you would create in us a hunger to know you at such a deep level that this becomes second nature to us, that people in our spheres of influence would see us transformed from the inside out, that you would give us the mind of Christ, give us a heart that beats very, very passionately for the things that matter most to you. And out of that, that you would be honored in every way. And we would see more and more of what it looks like to entrust ourselves to you, which is really hard. Because there are so many places in our world, in our lives, where we want to kind of take hold of this and try to figure it out on our own. And Jesus, if we could, we already would have. And we've all miserably failed. We've all been in authority, and we've blown it. But you've always been in authority, and you've never failed, ever, and nor will you. And so we place incredible hope in that truth, knowing that we can come to you, we can appeal to you, we can ask you for your help, and that you will give us what we need to carry out what it looks like for us to be moved to the place, to be sanctified to the place where we resemble Jesus in every way, shape, and form. So that's what we long for, and I pray that you would make it so. Jesus, help us to follow the example that you set, to trace your life so perfectly because we're so submitted to you that we taste and see that entrusting ourselves to you, the one who judges justly, is where life and freedom are found for all of us. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.